Welcome to the Eye on Israel podcast, a podcast of Memphis Friends of Israel. Since 2007, Memphis Friends of Israel has been on the front lines educating and engaging the community on the value and importance of support for Israel. Memphis Friends of Israel has worked to bring together people of different faiths and backgrounds with a common goal of support for Israel. Now, let's welcome our host on the Eye of Israel podcast.
Well, I want to welcome you to Eye on Israel, a podcast of Memphis Friends of Israel. My name is Jonathan Lindberg, and I'm the director of Memphis Friends of Israel. And today, I am really excited because we've got an old friend of Memphis Friends of Israel, a friend that many of you will remember from his time at the University of Memphis. And we are pleased to welcome today Dr. David Patterson. And Dr. Patterson, I'm going to give a quick introduction for you, and then we'll welcome you in. Dr. Patterson served for many years as head of the Born Bloom Judaic Studies Department at the University of Memphis. He is now serving as the chair of the Holocaust Studies at the University of Texas in Dallas. He is also a distinguished professor of literature and history, and both of us share. I remember sitting in Jerusalem talking about Dostoevsky many, many years ago, and both of us share an affinity for Dostoevsky. But it is good to have you with us today, Dr. Patterson. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you. Thank you, Jonathan. Thank you for the invitation.
And we miss you in Memphis. I know that you are doing great work there at the University of Texas, but I know many people that are listening to this podcast will have fond memories of collaborating with you on projects there through the Born Bloom Judaic Studies Department at the university. Well, we're gathering together to talk in this podcast about a very somber and very terrifying and a very sad theme, which is something that I think has been lurking underneath for many, many years. I've seen it and experienced it firsthand. And since October 7th, we have seen it in all of its ugliness, and that is anti-Semitism demonstrated and unleashed on our college campuses across the United States of America. And you and I were just talking before we started this, and just, you know, we all know it's there, and we all know that it's ugly and it's terrible, but it's been shocking to see the level of anti-Semitism in the last couple of weeks, how it has been manifest.
Yes, it's been brewing on the campuses. It not only rises up from student groups such as Students for Justice in Palestine, but it filters down from the professors. There's a significant portion of the professoriate, you know, the professors who are very anti-Zionist and therefore anti-Semitic, where anti-Zionist is in opposition not to the policies, but to the existence of the Jewish state. What has happened is that many, many young students who are uneducated, I mean, to be a student by definition is to be uneducated. That's why you're a student. They're uneducated, uninformed, and they are easily seduced by words like justice, freedom, peace, and so on. And they're easily manipulated. So what makes this especially troubling is it's a form of anti-Semitism that has become morally required. In other words, you cannot be considered a moral person if you support the existence of the Jewish state.
As a 20-year-old, say, for instance, on a typical large university campus.
Yes. Yes. Or as a, you know, a young professor. So it has this kind of a redemptive aspect that I can be a righteous person, a good person, if and only if I support the existence of the Jewish state. Now, so you see how this buys into a Hamas slogan from their founder. Their founder is named Ahmed Yassin, who founded Hamas in December 1987, who said that killing Jews and Israelis is an act of devotion.
Right.
This is part of what makes the evil so mind-numbing, you know, so horrific. They don't see the murder, this not just murder, but butchering, raping, burning alive, beheading, mutilating Jews, children. Mm-hmm. This is not
in front of their own parents.
I mean, I'm sure you've read the stories and seen perhaps some of the videos.
Right.
They don't see it as an unpleasant necessity in order to free Palestine.
Right.
They see it as a holy act pleasing to God. This should shake the soul of all of us.
And we've seen incidents. It has moved beyond rhetoric. Many of us have read about Cooper Union, a group of Jewish students who were sheltered in the library as demonstrators banged on the walls and the glass doors.
Right.
In Tulane, pro-Palestinian protests, two students were assaulted when someone tried to burn an Israeli flag. And of course, at Cornell, which is supposed to be, you know, an elite university, it's an expensive university. I don't know about elite, but their message boards at the college were flooded with threats, which prompted the president of Cornell having to contact the FBI. I'm looking at some of these threats, and we've all read it. You know, if you see a Jewish person on campus, follow them home and kill them.
Yeah.
It just touches down to the depth of what we define as evil.
Yes, that is evil. It's an evil that disguises itself as righteousness. Makes it even more insidious.
Right.
And they view the Jews like anti-Semites historically have the view that not that all Jews are evil, but all evil is Jewish.
Hmm.
All of the evil of Israel, genocide, apartheid, racism, Israelis are Nazis. All of that evil is not just from Israel, but from the Jews. So when Israel defends itself, students at Cornell get death threats, right?
But do they understand beyond the slogans? If we're talking about the average student, the 20-year-old protesting Free Palestine, they understand the slogans. They know, to say from the river to the sea. They know what to repeat. But is there an understand? I mean, do they know what they're actually talking about? It seems to me that with students, there's a lack there.
I think that's true. I hope it's true. I hope they, in a way, I hope they don't understand. They don't understand that, you know, they don't ask Palestine from the river to the sea, Palestine will be free. Free of what?
Right, right.
Free of the Jews, right? It's a call to extermination. They don't understand that the purpose of the slogans and the buzzwords like genocide, apartheid, is not to inform, certainly, it's not even to persuade, it's to incite. It's to incite hatred. So there's no analysis of anything. And they don't have the historical context, historical background, to be able to analyze the discourse, the language, the incitement, which makes them, you know, easily manipulated.
And dangerous.
Yes, and all the more dangerous.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think a lot of us are scratching our heads saying, well, what's to be done? And I'm curious to know what you think, but, you know, it's amazing to see that you've got corporations that are speaking out saying, you can act like this, but we're not hiring you. CNN reported just this week, 24 law firms in New York City said, we've got lists of these individuals that are part of these insidious protests, and they don't have a place in our law firm, and they're going to be frozen out. I mean, that's one way of dealing with it, right? I mean, you hit them from a capitalistic point of view.
Well, yeah. you hit them financially, and many donors. I know donors to these universities who are no longer providing any donations.
That's another way to deal with it, right?
Yeah, so it comes from the donors, the alumni, from the employers, the corporations, who won't tolerate it. There's also political action that can be made. In Florida, they have banned Students for Justice in Palestine, for example, on the college campuses. Brandeis
University. On the basis of them being defined as a hate group?
Yes. Mm-hmm. They incite hatred. They incite violence. To incite hatred is to invite violence, right?
Right.
And Brandeis University also, you know, bans Students for Justice in Palestine from their campus. The organization is nationwide, Students for Justice in Palestine. They're one of the main campus activists. They're funded by the Muslim Brotherhood, which is an international mm-hmm. organization, jihadist organization. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Hamas, as I mentioned, identifies itself as a member of the Muslim Brotherhood, mm-hmm. Article 2 of their charter. Most people who are blinded by hatred are blind to evidence. Or if they see evidence of the horrific acts that took place on October 7th, they tear it down, they tear it up, they pull the posters down from walls. They don't want to see the evidence of the evil. They're so locked into their
narrative,
the propaganda. Yeah, the narrative.
Yeah,
which is a narrative of hatred. Yeah. Hatred is blinding.
Yeah. Well, you know, you alluded to one reaction, which is the pulling of funding. And of course, Harvard has been in the headlines as one of the universities that really fumbled any kind of response to the hatred coming out of their campus. And, you know, it's not the students, it's the leadership that took days and days to condemn it, which is not difficult to do. It's not difficult to come up with a response to hatred in a matter of moments, but it took them days and they began losing donors. And I noticed yesterday, the president of Harvard, Claudine Gay, came out and condemned the use of the pro-Palestinian slogan "From the River to the Sea" and what she called hurtful phrases in an email to the entire university community. So, you know, it's taken 3-4 weeks, but, you know, obviously the funding being pulled has gotten her attention.
Well, that did get her attention, but hurtful phrases, really? Is that as strong as a stand as she can take? A hurtful phrase.
Yeah.
Part of the problem is, you're right, it's from the leadership. The leadership, in many cases that I know of personally, they're afraid to name the evil.
Right.
And if you don't name it, you can't see it. Many of them engage in this a kind of moral equivalency mm-hmm. that is steeped in moral bankruptcy.
Right.
You know, both sides commit
have
acts
issue.
Of violence.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. There's no both sides here. This conflict is not political. It's not ethnic. It's not economic. It's not military. It has none of the many, you know, usual reasons for a conflict. It has a metaphysical dimension. It's a conflict between good and evil. I don't think it's too much to say. It's a conflict between civilizations.
Yeah. Well, there's a spiritual battle going on. There's no question. There's no question.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, and it's a battle concerning how do we understand the question? How do we understand the sanctity of the other human being? In Jewish and Christian traditions, which are traditions of ethical responsibility, they're traditions of a love for every child of Adam, so to say. Mm-hmm. You know, the Hebrew word for human being is Ben Adam, which is a child of Adam. In the Jewish tradition, which is everyone, in the Jewish tradition, the commandment to love the stranger, not just your neighbor, but the stranger, appears 36 times in the Torah, the most frequently repeated commandment. The Christian scriptures tell us to, you know, love your enemy, love those who would offend you, care for those.
If somebody slaps you on the cheek, turn the other cheek.
Yeah. Out of love. Out of love.
Right? Yeah.
Love is the drug is trumps everything else, so to say.
Right.
It's more important, I would say, in a certain way, it's more important to be a loving individual than a so-called religious individual. If you're not loving, you're not religious in these traditions. Islamic jihadism is not about that at all. And I say jihadism because I don't want to suggest that all Muslims are like Hamas. I personally know many Muslims, and I work with Muslims.
Right.
I've met with them who vehemently oppose Hamas. Hmm. I heard a lecture by one of the leaders of the United Arab Emirates when I was in Oxford last summer, and it was a lecture strongly denouncing Hamas, Islamic Jihad, and the whole movement.
Right.
But the discourse of hatred has taken over our campuses. I've never seen or felt, you know, the weight of the hatred in the atmosphere as I do now.
You're listening to Eye on Israel, which is a podcast of Memphis Friends of Israel. And let me encourage you to visit memphisfoi.org for more information about Memphis Friends of Israel, and also follow us on Facebook. I want to talk about, we're talking with Dr. David Patterson, who is the Distinguished Chair of Holocaust Studies at the University of Texas in Dallas, and also a professor of literature and history. I want to talk about the mood there. You're in the Bible Belt, quote unquote, there in Dallas. You just alluded to the heaviness that you have never felt before. What is it like being on a university campus here in November of 2023?
It's, well, on my campus, like many, it's very frightening for Jewish students. Last Friday afternoon, you know, as the Sabbath was coming, our Sabbath begins on Friday evening. Yes, I met with 24 students who just wanted someone to talk to, someone who would listen to their concerns. They're afraid on their own campus. They're afraid to walk to their own classes.
And you told them what? What did you tell them, or did you just listen?
I told them about, you know, my own efforts to engage the leadership here, and I have engaged them. I've arranged for workshops to inform the administrators of Students for Justice in Palestine, for example, who they are, what anti-Zionism is. Many of the administrators are uninformed. It's part of the problem.
Yeah.
Some don't want to be informed, but some others want to be. So, and I have met with, you know, Vice President for Student Affairs, Dean of Students. I've been in touch with the campus police, and they have, you know, opened up, you know, hotlines, helplines for students. But they, the students, you know, are still afraid. And I, you know, I try to counsel them on how to engage or avoid engagement with hatred. You can't debate hatred.
Yeah.
There's no debate.
Yeah.
Right. And they, you know, I encourage them to support each other. We do have Jewish student organizations here where there is a lot of peer support. So far, the anti-Semitism here has been verbal. It's taken the form of graffiti,
right,
posters, rallies. So far, there's been no physical violence to our Jewish students, but words can do a lot of damage too.
Yeah, the emotional, the emotional and mental impact is unconscionable.
It is unconscionable, and we're not talking about just hurtful phrases.
Right.
I mean, come on. That's threatening.
It's threatening. Aggressive threats. Aggressive threats. For students that are simply enrolled in a university to learn, to get a degree, and to prepare for their career.
Exactly.
We didn't ask for any of that.
Exactly.
Well, you know, we have many people listening that are people of faith, and I'm going to encourage you to be in prayer for our campuses and specifically for the University of Texas there in Dallas. And Dr. Patterson, if you meet with them again, would you let them know that there are people in Memphis that are praying for them and encourage them with that?
Let me say that means a lot to them, more than you might think.
Yeah,
it means a lot to them, and they understand this, the evil of Hamas, to be an assault not just on, you know, Jewish people, but the Jews and other witnesses to God. It's an assault on God. It took place on Simchat Torah, which means rejoicing in the Torah.
Hmm.
The Torah that goes forth from Zion, as the prophet Micah says. It's an assault on Torah. This targeting of small children, the abduction of children, is an assault on Torah. In Jewish tradition, small children are associated with Torah because the Torah is the word of the Holy One and children are holy. The attackers, the terrorists, know all of this very well. They know about the Hebrew calendar. They know about Simchat Torah, which this year happened to be on a Shabbat, a Sabbath as well. So people of faith, believers in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob are all under assault here. It's not just the Jews.
Hmm.
As you know, what starts with the Jews never ends with the Jews, right?
Right.
It's about a fundamental understanding of God, humanity, holiness, responsibility, testimony, remembrance, all of that. So and I've worked with, and you know, Jewish Christian relations, as you know, for a long time.
Yes.
We've worked together.
Yes.
And it means a lot to the Jews to have this support. One of the most agonizing times in history have been the times when the Jews were suffering and the world remained silent.
Correct.
So prayers mean a lot. Speaking up means a lot. This podcast means a lot.
Yes.
And don't underestimate the impact of it. It can't be underestimated.
You are an academic, and you have approached this subject for years, for decades, from an academic vantage point as well. And we were talking just off camera or off mic about a book that you had put together years ago. Would you share about that, and then also how people can get a hold of it?
Yes. The book is especially relevant to trying to understand what's happening now. What is happening? What's driving it? The book is called A Genealogy of Evil. A Genealogy of Evil. And it's subtitled Anti-Semitism from Nazism to Islamic Jihad. There's historically a connection between these jihadists and the Nazis. In the 1930s, the Muslim Brotherhood sent delegations to Nuremberg rallies in Germany. Members of the Brotherhood worked with the Nazis. They regarded Hitler as a great jihadist. So Hamas comes out of that training, that indoctrination, that tradition. The leaders of Hamas, the founders of Hamas, were part of the very Muslim Brotherhood that was aligned with the Nazis. So it's a genealogy of evil, anti-Semitism from Nazism to Islamic Jihad. In both cases, the anti-Semitism was exterminationist. Both had an agenda of exterminating the Jews, not converting or assimilating, but exterminating.
Right.
You know, the final solution to the Jewish question. So the book is available on Amazon, like everything else.
Give us the title again, Dr. Patterson.
A Genealogy of Evil. If you just put A Genealogy of Evil on Amazon, it'll come up.
Yeah, and I encourage those that are listening. Dr. Patterson has published a number of books over the years through university presses, and all of them have been critically reviewed and award-winning. So you would do well to pick up that book. Well, I want to end with a bit of irony. You mentioned there is also political action that can be taken place. And so the Senate has decided that they are going to begin holding hearings on anti-Semitism on our college campuses. It's risen to that level. And you've got a number of senators led by Bill Cassidy from Louisiana, along with a host of other senators, both Democratic and Republican, who are also raising the attention on this. As that hearing began, one of the first speakers was a recent graduate of the University of Buffalo. He was speaking in the House side of this to the House Judiciary Committee. And as he began his speech, in the middle of his speech on free speech and on hate speech, protests began to erupt in the chamber against this Jewish student, which, if it wasn't so sickening and terrifying, it would almost be ironic. I don't know what the answer is, Dr. Patterson. I know prayer is part of the answer. I'm thankful that we've got our politicians getting involved. I'm thankful that we've got people in the business world speaking with their dollars. I'm thankful we have law firms speaking with their positions. But I don't know, is that what the answer is? And maybe we won't know the answer for a while.
Well, the answer is to be a witness, to speak up and do what you can,
be a witness.
Help where you can. Don't be silent. Don't be silent. If having the answer means solving the problem, we're not going to solve this problem.
Yeah.
this problem will not be solved. It can only be mitigated or diminished. But I think it's part of the human condition, part of somewhere in the soul. We have the original temptation to be like God. You will be like God. And you can't be like God without eliminating God's witnesses.
Hmm.
So that's not going to go away.
So our responsibility is to be a witness.
Yes, and we can stand with Israel, stand with those who love God and love their neighbors.
Yeah.
Right. Those who will not tolerate. Don't be afraid. And I can tell you what you'd already know, Jonathan. I'll tell your listeners, if you stand with the Jews, if you speak up saying what is happening to the Jews is evil, you run a certain risk of your own.
Yeah.
By the way.
Yeah.
But what price silence? What is the price within your own soul?
Right.
If you remain silent.
Right. Well, you've been listening to Eye on Israel, and we've been talking today with Dr. David Patterson. Let me encourage you to go on Amazon and check out his books. As well, let me encourage you to visit memphisfoi.org and learn more about what Memphis Friends of Israel is doing. This is a conversation that I believe is beginning, and it is only going to continue. And we pray for you, and we pray for the students on our campuses, for God's protection over them, and we will be witnesses.
Thank you, Jonathan. Thank you so much for all you do. Thank you.
Thank you.